أشهد
والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله الكريم، ونحن لا ذلك لمن الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. It is the great bounty of Allah تبارك وتعالى that Allah تبارك وتعالى has blessed us with another great occasion of the day of Jumu'ah. This great day of Jumu'ah is so much important in the life of a believer that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم says that a person who continuously misses his Jumu'ah salah three times, some say four times consecutively, then this person, it is feared that he will pass away on the fact. So this is basically the day of Jumu'ah. It is the last thread that a person hangs on in terms of his amal. And when it comes to salah in general, the five times daily salah, it is very important to obviously come for Jumu'ah. But even more important is that a person should make sure that he's performing five daily salah. إن ده حديث في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلون أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first thing that the servant will be asked about from his أعمال will be his salah. If the salah is in order, فإن صلحة then فقد أفلح وأنجح. If his salah is in order, then this person will definitely be successful. But if his salah, it is not in order, one is the general performance of salah, but the other is the establishment of the salah. Establishment of salah, what does it require? It requires that a person, from the time, nay, before the time of azan even sets in, before the time of salah sets in, then he needs to have made up his mind that which masjid am I going to read my salah in. Then after that he has made up his mind, I'm going to read my salah in a particular masjid. What time is salah day? What is the traffic like, etc., etc.? Do I have wudu? So then he makes his wudu from home. And really to make wudu at home is something that is highly rewarding. And it is true, the benefits are twofold. One is the reward that a person will get, and the other is, it is a person can make the following intention. That I am making wudu at home so that the bill of the masjid can be less. This is another intention that a person can make, there's nothing wrong with it. But together with that, the person now he comes into the masjid, and part of the establishing of the salah is, first thing he does is he reads Tahiyyatul Masjid. After reading Tahiyyatul Masjid, he comes front, occupies the front rows. And this is something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually emphasized, and he promised great rewards for this. And he says, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَةَ يُصَلُّونَ فِي الصُّفُوفِ الْأَوَّلِ يُصَلُّونَ لَلَّذِينَ فِي الصُّفُوفِ الْأَوَّلِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and the angels of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He sends down, showers down His special mercy for those people who occupy the front rows. And in regards to the malaika, they make special dua of guidance, of mercy, etc. for those people who occupy the front rows. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasizes that the best row for men are the front rows, and the worst row for men are the back rows. How important is it? So a person comes into the masjid, occupies the front rows, and together with that, he busies himself with some ibadah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, rather than just sitting there idly, not doing anything. Rather, he remembers Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because really life is very precious. Just this week alone, there are about 3 janazas in the span of 3 days. So who knows, perhaps the next time they make an announcement, it could be you or me. We don't know. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala hasn't told us that on a particular day there's an appointment, Malakul Maut will be coming, just be ready around 3 o'clock or around 5 o'clock, just be ready and come, he's coming to take your soul. There's no such appointment. We know that Malakul Maut comes unannounced. So we should be ready as well. So whenever the guest of death comes in, then we are more than welcome, we are more than ready to welcome the guest of death. But anyway, with regards to time, the months of Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah, which we'll be entering into soon, they bring about a lot of barakah, a lot of blessings. And these blessings, we ought to take maximum benefit from. But amongst the many blessings of this month, or amongst the many lessons that these months contain, it is the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They highlight the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the sacrifice of his family. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioning Hajj, not mentioning him, it is almost impossible to mention this. And Hajj is such an important ibadah that it makes up one of our 5 pillars of deen. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala describes this great Nabi of his. He says, Inna Ibrahim kanat ummatan qanatan lillahi hanifa. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a ummah. What does an ummah mean? The Mufassirin explain that the ummah is that person who is so resolute that he is considered to be a nation on his own. And the other opinion that the ulama give is that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam being an ummah means that he was mu'allimun nas al-khayr, that he used to teach people good about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and he used to encourage others about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is one lesson that we learn about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the praise that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives him. But amongst the many other lessons that we learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which is generally the concern of everybody, we work hard our entire lives so that we can have perhaps a good home, a good family, etc., etc. And when we pass away, we want our lineage to be preserved, we want our legacy to be preserved. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was no different to us as well, in the sense that he was a human being, he had desires like how we have. But his desires were obviously linked to what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will be pleased with the most. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes this particular dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. That, O Allah, bless me with a good mention in the nations that will come after. And this should be the concern of every single believer. And what is a good mention? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in the hadith that al-ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the heirs, the inheritors of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the question will be, what is the inheritance of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? The inheritance of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِرْهَمًا وَلَا دِنَارًا, did not leave behind wealth. But the wealth that they left behind was the ilm of nubuwwat, iman, good deeds, Islam, etc. So then this is the inheritance that we ought to go after. The virasat, the wealth of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the virasat is the knowledge and the Islam. So how then do we also gain this virasat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? From the very beginning, we see from time immemorial that Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their main concern is how they can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala cites the story of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he observes Maryam radiallahu ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed her with a child in a very miraculous way. So then he also has this desire within him that he should be blessed with a child. So he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi inni wahana al-'azmu minni washta'ala ar-ra'su shayba. That, oh Allah, I have become old and my head has become grey, etc. I'm weak in all fronts. But oh Allah, whenever I made dua to you, I was never such that I was turned back into him. Oh Allah, I fear that behind me, the people who come after me, the heirs will come after me, then they will inherit from this house of Nubuwwat, and they will not fulfill the right of Nubuwwat. So I'm worried about this, that when I am gone, will Islam continue in my house? I want Islam to continue after I am gone. So he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, bless me with a child, and such a child will fulfill your commandments. And then of course later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with a child. So this is the concern that every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had, that his legacy should carry on long after they're gone. And that legacy obviously was Islam and adherence to deen. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was obviously nonetheless. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Majeed, he was known as an ummah, a nation. A person who has so much fikr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him a nation of his own. But where does this start? It starts in where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after having passed with flying colors, as it is mentioned in the Quran al-Majeed, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, he passed with flying colors. But where does his journey actually start? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam cried before him and he says, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, that, oh Allah, bless me with righteous offspring. Bless me with children who will continue with my legacy long after I am gone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of course responded to his dua and he blessed him with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So here we learn that something very, very important, that after marriage, we should make a concerted effort to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us pious offspring. But the journey of nikah and having children starts actually before nikah. That a person should make a concerted effort on his life and rectifying his life, his akhlaq, etc., etc. In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are taught, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِلْأَرْبَعِ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَضْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Nabi sallallahu mentions that the woman is married for one of four reasons, either for her wealth, or for her beauty, or for her lineage, or for her deen. But then Nabi sallallahu tells us which woman we should be choosing. He says, فَضْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, that choose that woman who has the most amount of piety, who is adherent to Islam. Of course, that much we can't see beyond the screen, etc. But the zahir at least, the external show that this woman, she is a person who's adherent to deen. She's not a person who's running around, going shopping, etc., etc., all the time. And after doing our homework, we discover that this woman is a good woman, then marry that woman. As opposed to that woman, who may outwardly have a lot of wealth, or maybe she may come from a very high lineage, but we don't know much about her deen, or we don't see much deen in her. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَضْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, choose that woman who has a lot of deen in her. And تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكْ, may your hands be destroyed. And in other words here, this hadith, this was a ta'abir, a way of saying that a person should be busy in the search of finding something that he hasn't attained yet. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكْ, may you be busy searching for this person. But it goes without saying that it is not fair that we should want, we should demand pious wives, etc. But we ourselves are not pious. The first thing that we should do is we should make a concerted effort on ourselves before looking for that spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Majeed, الطيبون, الطيبات للطيبون, and vice versa. That the pure women are for pure men, and the pure men are for pure women. So a person himself should work on himself, and then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that he will be also recorded among the pious. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says with regards to the pious, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their parents were also righteous. When he's describing the parents of those two children in the Surah Kaf, he says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their parents, both of them, they were pious. So it is not a one-sided effort, but it is a concerted effort from both ends. And then the next thing that we learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is that whatever we want to see in our children, we have to be that towards our parents, being beautiful towards our parents. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to slaughter his son, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions this in the Quran al-Majeed, and he quotes the statement of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What does he say? He says, Ya abati la ta'budu shaytan. Oh my beloved father, do not worship shaytan. Later on, what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and is instructed to slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, what does he say? Ya abati f'al ma tu'mar. Ya abati. Oh my beloved father, do as you have been commanded. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repaying Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in his old age, as he was also dutiful and obedient to his father, by being kind to his father as well. Ya Abad, oh my beloved father, when Ibrahim is addressing his father, La ta'budu shaytan, follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't worship shaytan. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his son said, Ya Abad, oh my beloved father, follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also instructed you to do. Normally we emphasize greatly on instruction. We must instruct our children. We must tell them what to do, etc., etc. But here, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you want your children to be obedient to you, you yourself must be obedient to your parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay you as such. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to mention in the Quran al-Majeed about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, what type of a son he was to his mother. And it says, وَبَرْرًا بِوَالِدَةٍ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. I was a person who was dutiful to his mother. And with regards to Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, was a person who was dutiful towards his parents. And the Arabs of old used to say, you be dutiful to your parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that your children will be dutiful towards you. And over and above that, you be dutiful towards your children, you fulfill their rights. Once one person came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he complained to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that Umar, my child, my son does not listen to me. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was known for his justice. He calls the son and he says, bring your son. So the son comes and they are presented before Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Whilst they are seated before Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the father speaks first. He says, he does not obey me. When I tell him to do something, he does contrary to that. He doesn't give me wealth, etc., etc. So then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala asks the child, what excuse do you have for yourself? So the son says, can I speak? He says, yes, you can speak. He says, does a child have rights over his parents? So then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, yes, a child does have rights over his parents. He says, what are the rights? He says, number one, he should make sure that he marries a good wife. Marries a good girl who will be obviously a good wife and a good mother to his children. And to teach him deen, to make sure that the parents teach the child deen. So then the kid says to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that my father did nothing of that. He never married into a good home. And number two, he never taught me anything about deen. If there's anything that we understand about bringing up children, most of us look at the way the West do it, that a child, the Western way of doing things, that a child should be given good education. And good education in their standard means to go to the most expensive school, which does not necessarily mean that a child who goes to the most expensive school would have the highest education. Because what is education? Education means that a person knows how obviously to earn a living, but over and that a person should be educated enough that he knows how to live as a Muslim. That is our content. So if this person goes to a very expensive school, but then he comes back, he's unable to conduct simply as a human being, then really that child, even though he may get a lot of A's, a lot of distinction, that he has failed in the light of Islam, if he's unable to conduct as a simple human being. So anyway, this is our understanding. And then the next thing is, we think that when we are parenting, we must take our children out, etc., to go out and eat. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But if we make that the priority and we forget the tarbiyah, the upbringing, then we as parents have failed. Normally we hear that a person says, my father didn't leave anything for me. So then they say that your father was a failure. He failed to earn so much money that he left it behind for you so that you can benefit. Generational wealth. He didn't give you generational wealth. But in Islam, generational wealth is Islam. If the day you leave your house, or the day you pass away and your janaza leaves your house, there is nobody to read salah in your house. And on Eid days, there is nobody to come visit you in your qabr. And on a daily basis, there is nobody to pass on isari sawab. Then really, you are a person who is really failed. You have no generational wealth. Nobody is going to be there to remember. And the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that when a person passes away, say perhaps he didn't do so much good deeds, but his son is adhering to deed, he will think about him, that hey, my father, he did this and he did that, let me make dua for him, let me read some surah Yasin, let me send some isali sawab, let me do something, let me give out some charity, let me build a masjid on his name, let me do something that will benefit him today. He needs it there the most. He has done so much for me in my lifetime, how can I repay my father? He will be a person who knows how to make gratitude, who knows how to show gratitude to his parents. But if we fail in that regard, then on the minimum, the last we will see our child will be on the day that he stands there on our qabr. That's all. And then maybe if he has some concern, he will come on Eid days, the two Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And that's all. And then we say, hey, remember Abi, that's all. But nothing else, he will do nothing for us that will benefit us in the hereafter. So this goes to show how important it is to make sure that we teach our children, we give them upbringing. And the other thing that the ulama mentioned, that we learn from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, is to teach children to do good practically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this incident in the Quran Majid when he says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَائِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلِ. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was doing the good deed of raising the structure, the foundation of the Kaaba, it wasn't only him, but it was him and his son together. So whenever we are doing good deeds, we encourage to bring our sons along, our children along to do the good deed. Say, for example, they are going out to give us some charity. Bring your child along with them. And whilst you are going on the journey, you do what they call muzakara. You do a lesson of revision. That why are we going there to give out the sadaqah? We are going there to give out sadaqah to help others who are in need. And this we are doing solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not allowed to take photos. We are not allowed to take photos of those poor people to shame them, to embarrass them, etc. But we will do only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then whilst giving, we make dua, we tell your child, we make dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must accept this good deed from us. And that also we learn from the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore Ibrahim qaidun al-bayt Ismail, what dua were they making? Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Oh Allah, accept from us this good deed. As if they were saying, ya Allah, this deed that we are doing, it is not really worthy of acceptance in your sight. It could be flawed, there could be so many mistakes, but oh Allah, you accept it from us. So he was teaching his son how to do good deeds and preserve his good deeds in the hereafter. That if your deed is accepted by the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only will this deed be of benefit for you in the hereafter. But if that deed is done for show, if that deed is done so that people can know that family and that family gives so much sadaqah, that family is famous for knowing for doing good deeds, etc. No, that deed will not benefit a person in the hereafter. And then to teach children that look, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a very high lineage. Maybe they come from a family of ulama, they come from a family who is known for their good deeds, their piety. And then you teach them, what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say about that? How do you preserve it? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man bata bihi amalu, lam yusif bihi nasab." That the thing that will benefit you the most in this world and the hereafter, and preserving your lineage, is to make sure that you do good deeds. That you come, you hail from a good lineage, etc. That will not help you in the least. This Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling to his children, Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha, that you do, you ask me whatever you want in this dunya, but in the hereafter, I cannot benefit you in any way, unless you do good deeds in this very world. So this is the next lesson that we should teach our children. And another lesson we learn is also the importance of making tarbiyah of our children. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was leaving his children by the Kaaba, then the thing that is the dua that he used to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, liyuqima as-salah, that oh Allah, so that they may be those who establish salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very, very important. So how do we make sure that our children establish salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu ku anfusakum ahlikum naru. And oh believing people, save yourself and your children from the fire of Jahannam. So how do we do that? The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala asked. He said, make them adhere to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the way that you save them from the fire of Jahannam. And then in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. That you command your children with salah. But how do you do that to make sure that they adhere to the salah? وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلِيهَا. You yourself must be a practical example of that salah. That they must be seeing that the father is going for salah. If the father is sitting there and watching the UEFA Champions League, he's watching that sports show, etc., and he's saying, no, you go for salah, I'm still busier, then that child will never, ever, ever be a person who adheres to salah. So they say, but maybe he won't say it with his tongue, etc. He says, you're not reading salah, but it will show in his action, but how How are you, it will beat his mind. How are you commanding us to read salah? Whereas you yourself are not reading salah, it doesn't make sense. Remember, children learn by way of practical example. If we will be good examples to them, then they will also be willing to participate and do the good deed that we are actually asking them to. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says something very unique. He said, Adib ibnaka fa innaka mas'ulun anhu. Teach your children good manners, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask about good manners. Normally, the thing that we find to be beneficial for children, that we give them a gift, etc. We are happy to give them a gift. They perform well in the school, in the madrasa, we give them a gift. There's something that's very good to do. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what is the best gift that you can give to a child? He says, ma nahala walidun waladan shay'an ahsana min adabin hasan. The best gift that you can give to your child is to give him a proper Islamic upbringing. If you have done this, then this child will be a means of coolness for your eyes in this very world, and obviously after you pass away. How? مَا شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِإِلْمِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَرَى حَبِيبَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. There is nothing that brings joy to the eyes of a believer than him seeing that those people who are beloved to him are following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Don't you make this dua. You know, Allah bless us with wives and children who will be coolness to our eyes. But then it starts off with you. You have to make sure that they are such. You have to make sure that they do that. And if you are failing that regard, then they cannot be the coolness of your eyes. Like we said also, Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, what an excellent child he was with his father. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on explains that the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, and he really did become that, a pious person. When Allah ta'ala mentions, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ, that he used to command his children with salah and zakah, just like how his father used to command him with salah, etc. And then of course, the next thing that we should also continuously do is to make dua for the social acceptance of our children. And this is for their protection as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the ayah, quotes the incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that what dua is to make, is to say, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. That, oh Allah, I have put my children as per your command, in a place that is barren, in a land that is barren, that is not bearing of any fruits. But O Allah, as per your command, in the Baytul Muharram, يُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that they may uphold your commandments, O Allah. So this is the first thing that he says. But then, the dua that he makes after that, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِ, that, O Allah, make them socially accepted. How do you make your children socially accepted? You work on the akhlaq, the good character, the conduct, etc. When they become that, then they will be obviously socially acceptable. So then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes this dua. This is one section of the dua. And then the next dua he makes for them, which is obviously we all make this dua, that our children are blessed with sustenance. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. You know, Allah bless them with the produce of Makkah Mukarramah. And we see that most of the produce from Makkah Mukarramah is from around the world. So this is in response to the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But then you go back into this dua, you look at it again. What is the maqsad and the purpose of our lives, everybody on earth? يُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that we can fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That rizq, that sustenance mustn't be a deterrent, mustn't be something that is turning us away from the remembrance and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, wherein he says, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless me and my children with all goodness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La yanalu ahad. My promise will not reach those people who are oppressive, who are not fulfilling of my command. So this works two ways. That the parent will make sure he fulfills the commands of Allah ta'ala. He teaches his children how to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after all of this is said and done, to leave matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The effort is continuous throughout our lives. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes again, he says, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ Ya bani, inna Allah safa lakum ad-deena fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. The parting advice, everybody when they are passing away, even once they are alive, the main concern is remember, take care of the business, remember, take care of the house, remember, take care of your mother. But look at the command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that the Nabi, the parting advice that they gave to their children was what? وَصَّابِ أَبْنِوَانِ بَنِي وَيَقُوبُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ صَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. Take care of your iman. This should be the priority that we are telling our children, training them in our life, that take care of your iman once you are alive, and I'm leaving now the day we pass away. Take care of your iman while I'm passing away. But then this is a subtle note for us, that you make your effort your entire life. When you are leaving your way, when you're leaving the dunya, you leave matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. But provided you made an effort your entire life. If you never made an effort your entire life, then you cannot really make this dua, meaning in an effective way. But if you did that in your life, you made an effort, then this dua will be very, very effective towards your children. Because you're telling them, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا, your whole life you're making that dua. And then at the end you're telling them, don't forget Iman, Islam, Salah, don't forget that. Then this, inshallah, will be a means that will make our children, will be a means of benefit for us once we pass away in the dunya. And Nabi Sassam mentioned that when we pass away, then everything ceases to exist, except three things. And those things that will benefit, ilmun yuntafa'u bih, knowledge that people benefit from after we're gone, and waladin salihun yadu'a, a pious child will make dua after you're gone. But the effort we have to make during our lifetime. So these are some of the lessons that we can learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله القائل والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة وظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد عبده ورسوله القائل أيها الناس توبوا إلى الله واستغفروه فإني أتوب إلى الله في اليوم 100 مرة. عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله ومراقبته بالليل والنهار، فهو القائل يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. عباد الله، ماذا بعد الصحة إلا السقم؟ ماذا بعد البقاء إلا الفناء؟ ماذا بعد الشباب إلا الهرم؟ ماذا بعد الحياة إلا الممات؟ إخوة الإيمان، إنما مرض القلوب من الذنوب وأصل العافية أن نتوب. وروي عن محمد العدبي رحمه الله أنه قال دخلت المدينة فانتهيت إلى قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا أعرابي يضي على بعيره فأناقه وعقله ثم دخل إلى القبر الشريف وسلم سلاما حسنا ودعا دعاء جميلا ثم قال بأبي وأمي أنت يا رسول الله، إن الله قد خصك بوحيه وأنزل عليك كتابا جمع لك فيه علم الأولين والآخرين، وقال في كتابه وقولوا الحق ولو أنهم إن ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما، وقد أتيتك مقرا بالذنوب مستشفيا بك لا ربك. ثم التفل القبر وقال يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم، نفس الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. ثم ركب راحلته فغلبتني عيناي فرأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في النوم فقال لي يا عتبي الحق الأعرابية وبشر أن الله قد غفر له. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له، ونشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن وحافظوا على الجمع والجماعة واطنوا أنفسكم على السمع والطاعة واعلموا أن الله أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه ثم ثنى بملائكة قدسه ثم ثلث بالمؤمنين من برية جنه وإنسه فقال تبجيلا لقد حبيبي وتعظيما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام البخيل من ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليه، وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك على أحب خلقك إليك وأكرم من لديك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وتابعيه كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى. وارض اللهم عن أبي بكر صديق نبيك من قال في حقه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو
كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت ابا بكر خليلا رضي الله تعالى عنه. وارض اللهم عن ناطق بالصدق والصواب من قال في حقي سيد الجن والبشر لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه. وارض اللهم عن كامل الحياء والايمان من قال في حقي سيد ولد عدنان لكل نبي رفيق في الجنه ورفيقي فيها عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه. وارض اللهم عن مركز الولاية والقضاء من قال في حقه النبي الأواه من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاه رضي الله تعالى عنه. كل صحابة أجمعين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فقال تبارك وتعالى فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم انت السلام والسلام كما قال الجلال الإكرام يا أولى الأولين يا أخي الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. جزا الله أن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. فلا أردت فتنة قوم فتوفنا غير مفتونين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يبلغنا إلى حبك. جزا الله أن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين.